me better know because they could hear my voice coming back at me.
Just speak up a bit, please.
All right. Sorry, can you hear me better now?
Yes, once you throw your voice.
All right, but you see, the problem is that the louder I speak, the louder my voice is coming back. But anyhow, I'll struggle through it. I think, right, that I don't have an issue with people supporting the political party of their choice. It's written in the Constitution that you have the right constitutionally to support whichever political party that you want to support. But at the same time, we have to be very careful, like, just giving blind support. Because not only blind support is you know, reprehensible, but it also does damage to the actual party. Because when you act as if the party is doing everything right and not doing anything wrong, not making any type of mistakes, you give that party a false sense of security. So I think it's really incumbent on persons, even supporters, to be as honest as possible. The best interest of the party that they support. That's all I will say on that. Mr. Ellis,
hi.
On the 7th of this month, I shared with you the most recent travel protocols for Barbados, which at the time would have come into effect on the 4th of September, 3 days prior to my call. Since then, another set of travel protocols were released on JS website, coming into effect on the 11th of September. I'm disappointed to note to you, Mr. Ellis, that the issue I raised with you still exists because our government decided to continue recognizing China and New Zealand as quote-unquote very low-risk countries. This so-called very low-risk category means that anybody at all, coming from China, New Zealand, and 11 other countries, 13 countries in total, as long as these people haven't traveled to high, medium, or low-risk countries within 21 days, they're exempted from doing a COVID-19 test. So they're allowed to board the plane from their country without the test, and then allowed to exit the plane upon arrival to Barbados and mix up with the general population of Barbados without a test. And two of the 13 countries where people are exempted include China and New Zealand. China's where this whole place started in the first place.
Yeah, but where is China now on the list?
And that's where it gets us. Because
New Zealand is today...
Category level one. Level one category.
Today it has 1,815...
Level one, but Auckland is still at level two. But I want to... China first, Mr. Ellis.
Let me make the point here. New Zealand is 1,815 cases. You know, Guyana is 2,269. Guyana is ahead of New Zealand. I'm looking for China, but China has come way down on the list now.
But I want to talk about China first and then get to New Zealand.
Okay.
Because I want to remind you, Mr. Ellis, and all those who might have forgotten, that last year when Dr. Lee, or not forgotten, because people probably wouldn't know, because at that time people wasn't studying it, but last year, around October, November, when Dr. Lee was trying his best to blow the whistle on the virus, the Chinese authorities had him arrested on claims that he was spreading rumors and causing panic. Meanwhile, the government was insisting to the World Health Organization that China did not have a problem as it related to the virus. Then weeks later, when they finally admitted that the virus was indeed a threat, they then sent out the narrative to the world that they had everything under control, as you're suggesting. No. So that's why we have everything under control to the point where they refuse to restrict their Chinese people from traveling to other countries. This is last year. So I'm making the point to you, Mr. Ellis, that a country like China that has been laced with so much controversy surrounding COVID-19, how are you then going to turn around and add them to a very low-risk country, regardless of what they're saying? No.
I would not... put them as, in my judgment, I don't see them as very low risk. There are 90,376 total cases from what I see from Johns Hopkins University. And that puts them still, you know, looks to me within the first 20 or so, 25 countries or so. And therefore, one would have to ask the question, what is informing the decision?
Correct.
To classify them as such, you know?
Correct, because if as you're saying, no, and I misunderstood you at first, so I want to apologize to you for that. But if now we're saying that China is still a risk, and which, by the way, as you would have said already, that even if you're small risk, so even if they had five cases, five five community cases, even that is too much. So if you're saying that China is still at this risk, how then are you putting them on a very low risk category, which will mean that anybody in China can travel to Barbados without a test? Then we have New Zealand. New Zealand, by their own admission, not by rumor or gossip, by their own admission, they themselves are experiencing challenges with COVID-19. On their website, covid19.govt.nz, it stated that their largest city, Auckland, has been on alert level 2 since the 12th of August, which an alert level 2, when you look at their definition of that, talks about community spread. Granted, the rest of New Zealand only yesterday was downgraded to alert level 1, but the fact remains that New Zealand is still a threat because, as we speak, by their own admission, there's community spread. Only yesterday, it was reported on nzherald.co.nz that officials are scrambling to identify the source of infection for a man who tested positive days after completing managed isolation. The article says that 4 new cases confirmed yesterday, 2 in the community, come as Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is due to announce changes to the country's alert levels after cabinet meets today.
But you're so worried about, you're talking about China, which is classified here as very low risk. That's how they're described, very low risk. The United Kingdom.
Go on to read, Mr. Ellis, what the definition, what the Barbados government definition of very low risk is. That once you're classified as very low risk, you do not need a test to get to
Barbados. I understand that.
Okay. All right, go on. Say what you were saying. Sorry about that.
The United Kingdom. I count them now at number 14 on the list. And they are considered by Barbados' protocol, the one issued on September 11th, that is. That's the last one I see. Let me check.
Yeah, 11th. You're correct.
Right. They're considered a medium-risk country.
Right.
And there are people who I've heard express some difference of opinion as to whether you could really classify the United Kingdom as medium risk, given the extent to which they have now, 396,744 confirmed cases.
Right.
All right?
But the
interpretation of that is that, to some extent, they question whether in the desire to jumpstart this economy and to run the Barbados stamp. And if you got the Chinese, for instance, coming in here for projects that the government wants to get off the ground and all of that, that to what extent that may be playing a role in the designation. That is a question which the authorities may well have to answer.
But I want to support your point, and I want to really say that it is very important, the point you made, that the authorities, the Minister of Health, the Prime Minister, whoever's in charge of public COVID unit, whoever it is, the Chief Medical Officer, needs to come to the public immediately and let us know what is driving these category decisions. And again, as I told you last week, that I do not believe at all in a very low-risk category, because high risk or low risk, as you said, it is still a risk. And especially when you can put people like China and New Zealand on the list who are in trouble from day one. Well, not for New Zealand was okay before. They only got
somebody points out to you that there are no direct flights to China or from China, and that you need to calm down. In order for anyone to come from China to Barbados, they've got to go through one of the high-risk countries, says this person.
So what you're saying, I don't get the person's point, because if a person from China comes to Barbados, can't they just show that they're coming from China? Because, okay, what I'm saying is that if you put China on the very low-risk country category, then what was the purpose of that if you're saying that you can? Because what I'm saying now is that if somebody comes from China, regardless of if they had to go somewhere else, a third-party country, to get here, they would just show the documentation that they're coming from China and not that as a party, that as a country that is classified as high, medium, or low risk. So, and in any case, if that is the case, why then would you put China on the list? So I think, as you said, that this is obviously, it seems to be a strategy or a ploy China easily. And also, let me ask you then, too, about New Zealand. Did they say anything about New Zealand? Do you have to pass through another country from New Zealand to get to Barbados? Did they say anything about New Zealand? So if you can get to Barbados straight from New Zealand, the problem still exists.
Some people believe that some of you behave very, very much as though you don't want to engage in a conversation. Sometimes it's just that you really want to have your say. And today on this program, it is one of those days, it seems, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, somebody else says here that the calculation of the risk is based on cases in relation to population. How do you respond to that?
I will respond to that by saying what I said two times on this program previously. You should not be coming from anywhere outside of Barbados without a COVID test done. High risk, medium risk, low risk. I don't care the risk. Every risk is a risk. Do people really understand? I started off this contribution saying that just because you support a party does not mean that you have to behave as if you're blind.
You follow that?
Maybe I had an epiphany. But Mr. Ellis, seriously, right?
<You're laughing.
laughs> that I really want to encourage people, get some sense, man. If this virus, it only takes one person to come to Barbados with this virus, and the whole place can be in pandemonium. Especially when they come from a country that they don't need a test, because I read a report back in March.
All right, but
that the scientists say that one person, there's a probability of one person infecting 60,000 plus people, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
They're coming one after the next, boy.
Wow. All right. Let me first start by saying that I heard that she don't like people to call it Trinidad lady, but she's talking about government doing things. I don't think Barbados had a situation where its leader virtually dismiss everybody in Barbados during Mr. Barrett Kenner, when he introduced the emergency bill. That's unprecedented in Barbados. Let's just start with that. Now, you also say that the people are putting, but I'd like to say to you that Mr. Hinkson, he is over a commission to carry out a better life for the disability. I'd like to just mention that there to you. I'm really amused at the way Barbados go around these issues about civil unions and the marijuana. Now, they said civil unions for couples of the same gender to be recognized, but referendum to determine if same-sex marriages will be legalized. So I think now regarding the marijuana, anyone caught with less than 14 grams or half ounce of marijuana will no longer be arrested, charged, and tried in the court. You have a ticket system coming instead. Now, I don't see nowhere that they said during the speech that they're either going to legalize same-sex marriages or marijuana. So people are getting all the F, this is a done deal. It's not. Now, even in the Covenant of Hope and another occasion in the 2017 budget, the BLP made it clear at that time. In the Covenant of Hope, they said, is the principle of vision of the BLP 2016. On page 23, they say, we support the use of people initiatives as well as the mechanism of a referenda to ensure that our citizens may influence the work of our parliament and our executive. This will make our people, and not only parliamentarians, to have an appropriate role in the decision-making on fundamental issues affecting the stability and cohesion of our nation, right? This must always follow an intense public education program. In the 2017 budget reply, the then opposition leader, Ms. Morley, said, no 30 people in the country can deal with vexed issues like decriminalization of marijuana, capital punishment, or same-sex marriages. So there you go. You know, people get, there's nothing in the in the Truman speech that indicated that is that both marijuana or same-sex marriage are legalized. She said that we put it to a referendum. So I don't know what all this lot of hype is all about. People must learn to understand things, to hear things and comprehend it. You know? No way in this speech say neither of these instances are. Well, I guess Barbie is like low-hanging fruits, huh? So basically that is it.
All right. But just let me point out that the information that I was looking at from the GIS, there has been an update to the protocols on the 19th of September. And it said here, with effect from September 19th, for all persons traveling to Barbados from high and medium risk countries, it is mandatory in order to enter the country that they take a COVID-19 PCR test from an accredited or certified facility or laboratory within 72 hours prior to travel. Persons traveling from low-risk countries, in order to expedite processing through the airport, are strongly advised to take and will be allowed to present results of tests taken up to 5 days prior to arrival. Relevant accrediting bodies and standards include, and they indicate who are those relevant accrediting bodies. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, sir. I would have loved to be able to give this to you before I bring it out to the public, but I hope I can be able to say it as fast as I can so I can be able to get some discussion. So I don't want to be just giving you something. This whole thing of how Barbados is at in terms of what we have to do to be able to be protected from this COVID-19. Now, seeing how schools have had to go back out, how Barbados has been restricted, how Barbados has been going through where the cases came in, we went on the lockdown, we come out of the lockdown, but yet so we are sacrificing a lot for the purpose of, and I don't want to sound, because I have a solution, I don't want to sound as though I'm knocking things, that the parents have to struggle to how would they keep their children at home, who would they keep them with if they'd be safe, and the whole lot of various things, even at this short notice where we even have gotten a lot of the protocols of how school's going to open and how you got to run. Saturday evening, which should have been something that you should have been 4 weeks ago been preparing for. So Barbados has no cases known on the island, but except for those who are in isolation. My question is, why are we sacrificing the majority of the people of Barbados for the minority of the people of Barbados?
How are you of the view that we are sacrificing the majority?
Okay. What when I say sacrificing, we the Barbadians are sacrificing the whole social distancing, wearing the mask. The children has to do certain things. You cannot be as liberal as you used to be before.
Yes.
For instance, churches running at 2 hours.
Who are we sacrificing this for? Who's this minority?
The minority are the tourists that are coming in. Now, I'm not saying tourists shouldn't come in, but what I'm saying is that what we should be doing, and I can say this before I say the other part, I understood that New York, every day they put out a notice. If you go to any of these states, so these are Americans going to any of the states in America, when you come back, you have to do a 14-day quarantine. But Barbados is saying to the tourists, you don't have to do a 14-day quarantine because we want the money. Yes, we want the U.S., but is tourists the only U.S. that's coming to the country?
No.
Can we for a period of time hold off of that U.S.? I'm not saying tourists don't come in.
You need to stop, man. And
okay.
Double check who brought the most COVID into Barbados so far. I don't think it was the tourists.
No, I'm not saying that.
The people that have been bringing COVID into Barbados more than anybody else have been Barbadians returning home.
Yes, but what has happened with the Barbadians returning home, they had to quarantine for 14 days.
And what happens to the tourists? They don't have to quarantine, upon where they're coming from?
Depending on where they're coming from, depending on the test. Because if you realize there's some people, thank you for the ministry who have been vigilant. They have even caught persons who could have got into the community, but they decide to hold them and tell them, let me do another test before they allow them into the community. That cannot continue where they can keep. Somebody's going to slip through. But what I'm saying is put Barbados in a bubble, and they can go on to a solution. Put Barbados in a bubble. Ask the tourists, if you want to come, come. 14 days quarantine, test, everything, then get into the bubble and enjoy your time here. If you can't do that, hold the money, save your money, wait till the thing hold up, and come. Barbadians, if you're sick, come. We can take care of you, because you belong to me. Then what the Barbadians should be able to do is, Minister Motley, and if you hear me say me, I apologize for it, because I want to do it quickly. Minister Motley, tell the hotel people, look, drop on a price. A breakfast is about $80, drop it to about $70, get a room about $70, so $140 a day. Get the Barbadians a big package and let them tell them come. Because if you get 50 Bajans going into a hotel for a weekend, you could bring in your staff and you run that for a couple of weekends. You could rotate your staff. The Bajans patronize the hotels, patronize the restaurants. That way you rotate some money within the island. The $300 million that is being made available for the hotels, that can stretch a little longer because you'll be able to pay your staff with money that's coming in. I know you can take some of that.
I wonder how many tourists you think are in Barbados right now.
I don't know, but...
Do you really get the sense that enough people come in here?
No, that's what I mean. So if they're not much, and we can use the Barbadians to carry a little bit of the load, because it's not going to suffice the load. It's not going to bring foreign exchange. But at least it will help those persons who are not working to get a little dollar.
Let me ask you, are you aware that people who come into Barbados can opt to go to hotels for isolation or go to Paragon?
With the bracelet, no, they will be also...
Are you aware that that happens right now?
Yes, but it is not...
So you want to make it mandatory that you should go to a hotel instead?
Make it mandatory for the 14 days.
For the 14 days. So you think if you were a tourist coming to Barbados and it was made mandatory that you should go for 14 days at a hotel and you were coming here for a holiday, you think that that would be attractive to you? If you had to go to a country and a similar law or rule was laid down for you, rule or regulation, would you feel comfortable doing that? Would you want to leave and go to that destination?
I think for me as a Bajan, I would not want to go out to any country right now, even though there might not be all those mandatory laws laid down. What I'm saying is that when I realize what I have to do, I can say, well, I can save my money. I'm sure a lot of Bajans would be saying, me, I ain't going nowhere right now. I can save my money, and when this thing blow off, then I will go. And if the tourists do that, as much as we want the dollar. If the tourists do that and they wait, maybe they might have twice as much to spend the next thing that they come.
I just want you to be aware of the fact that the figures from the government suggest that we got approaching 40,000 people on the breadline right now here.
Exactly.
And you see your approach, you have to be careful that while the grass is growing, the horse isn't starving. People get pretty, upset and go through all sorts of stress associated with being unemployed. Huh? So you need to recognize that we have limited resources, and you got to be very careful here. You got to strike a balance.
One thing, Mr. Ellis, is that you have, let me say there are 3 plane loads coming in of 200 or 600 people. If we get 10,000 Barbadians for 1 weekend, how much money can we circulate within the
country? I don't know that we got that many people coming in here right now.
No, what I'm saying, that's one that you're even qualifying my point. That if you don't have that many people coming in, and we can get out of 80,000 working, 20,000 out of that 80,000, and spend some money within the hotel sector, you have some of those 40% being able to get a job for a weekend and,
right,
and rotate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Could you hear me?
I can.
Yes. Good morning, sir. I am a concerned mother and a very concerned grandmother. I want to really find out what is really going on with these schools, with these children, with these masks. Because some of the schools are charging people, the parents of these children, for masks. I am saying that a $3 or $4 in money. But when a school can say that they want $15 for a mask for a child just because of a logo, that is unreasonable. That is unlove. I just don't know what words to put. Now, when I look to see what is going on here, it hurt my heart. Because we have parents here that are not working. And the difference is a body that got a one child and have somebody to help her or help him with that one child. But when you got parents that only one body may be working or sometimes none of two of them are working, and you got 3 children, how they could afford $15 for a mask? The government have give every teacher masks. And if the government give the teachers masks, how come certain schools make a mask, charge their children for a mask, and the government give them masks free? It is unfair. And I hope the minister looking to that. Another problem I got.
Before you go on to the other problem, when did you discover that this fee was being charged?
On the cell phone. It came to the cell phone. And it was
when?
Shown to me.
So you discovered
yesterday. It was Friday when I see it on the phone. You understand? I know a thing because I understand too that the PTA people had to talk to them and say it's unreasonable. But what I am looking at too, another point I got, that the teachers and the unions with these children, now they had long vacation last time, they had all this, and they wait till the children going into school, these union people, and calling strikes. Them things is unfair. They couldn't do it in America. They couldn't do it in England. No, they couldn't do it in Canada. You understand? Because if the children in school and they want to hold meetings, the unions just hold meetings in the teacher's time, not in the children's time. I feel a lot of unfair things is going on with our children. These teachers got to learn to love these children. You understand what I'm saying, Mr. Ellis? No, some of them want protocol. They want all of these things do at the school, but some of them still taking turn home at them and give them lessons. That in the protocol, too. It is unfair. It is unreasonable. And I hope the minister get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on with these children. They love the money, but they don't love the children. Because if they love the children, they won't do these unfair things to our children in this country. And it hurt. This morning, I meet a lady coming with 3 children and don't even have shoes for that child to go to school. You understand? And to then turn around to look for $15 for wear a mask? Another problem I got again is to stop the people from that outside that were glad for going to sell a little juicy, a little biscuit around the school to get a dollar bill. To stop those people and the teachers buying things and selling any school that getting a salary from the school premises to school children. These things should abolish. It is unfair to be Bajan's people, especially those that have those children that they know where they're coming from. God thank the welfare for certain people that can go to the welfare to get something. I pray the minister but look into these things and do something for us. We have people out there and working. Where do they get money from? But I ain't getting money from the get just $15 and claim that child must have this mask because they got the school logo. It's unfair, Mr. Ellis. And I pray the minister will do something about this, with these teachers, with this unfairness that is going on.
I can just say to you that as you talk about masks, last month, this person sent me this information, a Barbadian living in New York. They said that since the pandemic, I made a lot of masks and gave away most of them. I gave hundreds to the hospital, to friends, family, and clients. Now, I want to send some to Barbados for the school children, especially those from Ellerton Primary, because my mom and all my family attended that school. I tried getting in touch with Dwight Sutherland, but he's not responding, said the person. Can you help? Can you help? I made a lot of colorful ones, but I don't know if the children can wear them to school or they have to get the ones that are color coordinated with their uniforms. I'm still waiting to get a response to this.
Yeah.
This person was willing to do this for free.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what is involved in trying to address the problem that you've raised. The schools may have seen this as something that they want to do for identity purposes. That's why they put the school logo on it. They may well be charging what may be below the real cost of it. They may be putting a fee on it. I don't know exactly what is the rationale behind the approach.
Yes.
But for those of you who have to look for the $15, especially if you have two or more children attending school, even some people, even with one child, may have extreme difficulty in trying to address that.
Yeah.
We do have to take into consideration, though, ma'am, that in many schools, they try to adjust, they exercise discretion when dealing with children who just cannot afford to do it.
Yes.
And I don't believe that they could be that hard-hearted. It is not the Beijing way to say, well, even if you can't pay, well, don't come to school unless you come to school with a mask because you are not able to pay. So I assume that you got this thing on the cell phone. You are not the parent. And therefore, you didn't go to any PTA meeting.
No.
Nor did you put yourself in a position to ask anybody at the school what happened in this regard. It is always important to hear the other side.
Yes.
Before we condemn, let's hear the other side of this story first.
Well, Mr. Ellis, this is what I'm seeing. No, not even we as big people, we don't pay that kind of money for a mask. And another thing.
But you need to hear from
if
them.
The mask is to carry the children's shirts, carry the logo. They don't need a mask with no logo.
I'm saying to you that you have gone off on this thing in a way that does not ask the question why. Before you go there, you may end up right there. When you hear what I have to say, you may end up exactly where you began. But it is wiser to hear from the school and let the parent, your daughter or your son, I think it's your daughter, let them call the school and try to get behind what has happened here. You speak as though your own family will be touched by this. Because you're very passionate about it.
Sorry, Mr. Ellis, but I am so hurt. You mean even if they're going to make masks, get somebody outside that ain't working, even one of them school children, parents that got a machine, get a little job, them getting a salary.
But you don't know the details. You're operating on just a bit of information on a cell phone. Pardon?
You understand? I know that too.
Mm-hmm. You need more information before you condemn the people. It is better for you to get more information on this. Because
they ain't had no right making no mask at no school and charging no parent for.
Well, again, I would say to you, when you ask the question why, you may get an answer that will make you say, but you know what? I didn't think about that. I didn't understand that. Because in all of this, it is necessary to have the master protect the children. And the issue here is, and who is going to pay for it? Now, there are parents who may be able to find the mask and, you know, and be able to get it at a far cheaper price. But remember this, huh? A lot also depends upon the quality of mask. There are masks and then there are masks. There are a lot of people who walk about with stuff like bandanas and that sort of thing around their noses and their mouths, and they are not considered to be as effective as proper masks. So that also has to be taken into consideration. But please, just ask your daughter to call the school, try to see if she can get some kind of dialogue so that you don't just jump off on this information that you got on the cell phone without anything else to support it, okay?
Thanks,
I understand
Mr.
how
Ellis.
Passionate you are about it, but
I
you
am
need...
real passionate.
Yes, yes, definitely.
In this country, we say that Black Lives Matter, but we ain't matter, you know. We ain't care if you go down a well once or up top.
Well, let's ask the question first, all right? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Yeah, I come in here on a couple of things. First, let me speak to one thing that lady said. I did remember hearing the minister speak to the press about the masks that the school were making and thinking, but she said that it is nothing that the children have to buy. They can come with their own masks and so on. So I don't think that is a hard and fast thing going on there. But let me get it here to the throne speech that was given last week. And also the speech that Ms. Motley gave at the St. George Secondary School last night. I am one, the throne speech. I see the throne speech as a government thinking and resetting the button of Barbados because of COVID-19. And I am in favor with almost everything that is inside that throne speech in getting Barbados ready and poised for when COVID has abated itself some more. And I see in the $300 million, I hear her explain that last night, what that is going to do, right? When it comes to the little boy things that people are hanging on to, I think the government and the prime minister is thinking. I know we would not have heard the prime minister for at least 4 weeks or so on a regular basis on the thing. I don't know if people realize that. But I was saying to myself, I know this prime minister is working behind the scenes with all the people and the consultants that they are criticizing her for having, along with her ministers, were sitting down and grinding at the wheel into the midnight oil, over the midnight oil to reset Barbados and put it in a good path to end COVID thing. The thing about same-sex marriage, Mr. Ellis, I am a Christian, and I am appalled at the behavior of the Christians when it comes to the rights that is trying to be given to people who are partners. I, as a Christian, do not support same-sex marriage. But I will not discriminate against people who make that choice. I hear a lot of people talking, because this situation happened, Barbados is going to come down. But let me tell them something. If Barbados will come down because of such behavior, we would have been way down everything, because this thing was being practiced within our society, and people know that. So this situation is going to bring a lot more things out of the closet for people to recognize. And the same church, in centuries gone by, the same church was a proponent of homosexuality dealing with young boys in the churches and certain churches. And those churches still standing up and preaching and got preachers and pastors preaching. Huh? I don't understand why people come telling me that because of this. When God came and died for us as a Christian, when God created the earth, Adam made a mistake. This world, and from then on, it was an imperfect world.
Look, I have read and listened to a lot that has been said on this. And I think that there's merit in saying that Barbados many people in this country are being kind of hypocritical on the issue, because a lot of what they are screaming about is already being done in the country. It is a custom and a practice in this country already, notwithstanding the laws that are there. However, I think there's another dimension to this that I've mentioned before. And it has to do with the government itself recognizing how sensitive an issue it is. And because of that sensitivity, the government made a promise to the people of Barbados on this issue. Now, it cannot sit right that you will say on the one hand that you are going to meet that commitment, but on the other, you are going to take action which effectively is seen as taking you in that direction prematurely. So that is the issue that is one of the issues that I see coming out of this particular matter. There are many people in Barbados to whom some of these issues do not matter one way or the next. And you can count me in that group. All of this talk I hear about here, this, that, and the next, as far as I'm concerned, they don't deal with the real issues. They are thrown up. There's a core of people in this country for whom it really matters. For them, symbolism is the word that they use. And they can do that. But having said that, I think we have to recognize that, you know, even though it does not matter one way or the next, there's a principle here that I hope that the government appreciates. It needs to respect, because because of the size of the majority, this is another matter that needs to be watched. There are some people who say to the government, you know what, you don't have to worry about whether a minority or a majority supports what you do. You got a mandate. Do whatever you feel like doing. You know what that does? It puts the government in a position where when it goes to the polls, people say, but you know, we got to change this, you know. We can't let this come back like this again. And then you can find yourself in a situation where it moves in the other direction, either to a degree that makes it very difficult to govern, or you're toppled completely, okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So to me, those principles are important. You need to respect them, because most of all, you don't want it to be said that you voted for a government expecting that it would respect its promises. It comes to you and it recites all the promises that were kept, including the buses, the sanitation service authority, the picking up of the garbage, this, that, and the next. But this one stands out as a promise that was not kept. And then with that comes all of the allegations as to why it was not kept. It comes across as though you're operating in bad faith on that particular point. And that's what I think it needs to be borne in mind.
All right, let me come in here again, because that is why the government is going for a referendum on the same-sex thing, so that the country has a choice that it could choose near yes or no after need that. But let me get back to the St. George thing and how this
part. Well, you've had a fair amount of time already, sir.
No, I ain't had a fair time.
I'm telling you, sir. I am telling you, listen, I am telling you that you did, so you need to wrap up on this point quickly.
I just guess you come on here.
Doesn't matter. today you've had a fair run, and there are other people here who want to speak. So I am giving you the opportunity to wrap up on this point. I am no different with you than some of the other callers who have come through.
No, I just want to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Miss Motley is planning, and I like her succession planning. That is why Glenn Carr, and I see it as an opportunity to bring somebody new to the fore. I would like the Democratic Labour Party and the other parties to look at how Miss Motley plans succession planning and looking to bring people to the fore. And they need to do this to come back strong as an opposition party. Plan the succession planning and get right people who have the ability to lead that party back to the height that it used to be. Because we
right,
cannot
sir.
Have a Democratic Labour Party who is not on par and bringing the things so that they can champion another voice within this country.
Okay, thank you.